Welcome to Honey
with Holly and Emma.
With Holly and Emma,
a podcast where we talk about the sweet things in life,
from faith to family, even challenges and trials
that may not seem so sweet at first.
All right, so we decided, since this is a pretty brand new podcast, probably listeners are wondering who the heck I am, who Holly is, some backstories. We wanted to open up for Q&A, and we're going to do this a few times, you know, throughout Honey, just so that we can really like take a breath, get to know each other. So you threw it out on your Instagram to get some questions. Mm-hmm. Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah. So let's probably, I feel like a lot of these people know me. We want to dig into you, Emma. You tell us about you. You tell us about, there was a couple of questions. One of them was, how'd you get to come to know each other? Okay. A little bit about your family, and are you a member of the church?
Okay. Well, I am a member of the church. I was born in San Diego, grew up in a little beach town, Carlsbad, Encinitas area. It was growing up like this little sleepy surf town. Now it feels a little bit like Los Angeles because everyone discovered how incredible it is. But the majority of my family is still in California. And thankfully my parents are still in the house that I grew up in. Born and raised in the church. My parents are hippies. Like my mom, I don't think she owns a bra. My dad barely owns one pair of shoes. My mom is an ultra marathon runner.
Wow.
All growing up, she ran every single day. And there's 9 kids in my family. And everyone's like, how did your mom raise 9 kids? And I think it's because she ran. She woke up every single morning, ran, and would come back and just have a smile on her face for the rest of the day. So those endorphins are real.
Yeah, they really are.
I miss the running gene, but a lot of my other brothers and sisters have ran marathons. I have another brother who is an ultra marathoner as well. My parents are just about to go do this big walk. Have you heard of the Camino?
My sister did that.
They've done that one. Now they're going over to England to do the coast to coast walk.
Yeah.
So that's what they do now. They just, their life is based around their grandkids and their races. And it's the coolest, most inspiring thing. But anyway, I grew up in San Diego. Family's still there. Parents still in the house that I grew up in. I met my husband when I went to BYU. But we had a funny dating story. I mean, we started off as friends. We dated and then we didn't. And then we dated and then we didn't. And that went on for 5 years, which is pretty wild.
I actually
love that.
Which is
the opposite of your. And my husband's name is Brad as well. But I studied broadcast journalism at BYU. I fell in love with the major. It felt like this is what I was like made to do. And BYU had an incredible broadcast program, which gave me these awesome internships. My first internship was at Wimbledon, the tennis championships So that was my first introduction into like real life broadcast. And I was working with NBC. And then that job or that internship led to a job of going to the Olympics with them in Beijing. So like right out of college, that's where I went. I went to China for I think 5 or 6 weeks and covered the Olympics there and got an Emmy. That was my first Emmy I got was from that coverage. I know, just the coolest stuff. And all of it, I think, goes back to my time and my connections that I made at BYU. It was amazing. Yeah. And then my first job, moved to Idaho Falls. Loved that. Did that for 2 years. And then we've been in Phoenix ever since. And this is where my husband's from. So so he has really deep roots here. I'm surrounded by in-laws and cousins and everything, which is so cool for my kids. We have 4 kids. My oldest is Eli. He turns 9 tomorrow. And then B is 7. Eden is 5. Oh. August is 3. So 2 boys and 2 girls.
And they are adorable.
They are
Which one of yours is the dancer that I saw those pictures?
B. Okay. Her name is Beverly, but Beverly's a family name. So we've always just called her B. But she is my dancer. Eli is super into basketball. Eden just finished T-ball where I was the head coach. Well, that makes sense. You would look at me and you'd be like, that girl should be the head coach of a T-ball team. Mm-hmm. No, I drew the short straw, but we had the funnest time. And then August is just into everything. And I mean, I look at him and I want to have a million more little babies, but I think mentally I should probably give myself a break.
I remember when you had him and you were like, I'm going to take a little break. I just had a baby here. And then I feel like you were right back there clicking along.
I know. But you know, and it's funny because I look at your family of 5 and I'm like, shoot, should I have one? But I don't know. It's so tricky. And it's funny because a lot of my girlfriends who are in the church are my age and their kids are like, graduating college. But then my girlfriends who I'm at work with are my age and haven't even started having
Or
kids.
they just barely started,
Yes, the majority of them have no children. And so it's so interesting to see the differences and how there really is no right way to do it. It's whenever it works for you. And I'm really proud of these women who are working so hard and still want that family and are not letting societal pressures decide that for them. They're figuring it out in their own time.
And
I'm
that
really
and they're
neat.
figuring out they can do it. They can do both. I know there's a lot
Yes.
of pressure to feel like you can do it all. And I think the key component in that is that you don't have to do it all, but that you really can do it all.
So that's me. I mean, now I work not as often as I used to. I used to be the main morning anchor at the NBC station here in Phoenix. Now I have this really great schedule where I produce my own show once a week called Momcast, and then
Which
I
we
just fill
love.
in. Yeah, well that's how you and I met, was through Momcast, which I threw up on Instagram. And then it's the funniest thing it's very nice to see that you can create genuine friendships through social media.
I know, and there's not there's there's it doesn't happen as often as you'd think it would. I think that we
No.
have a lot of acquaintances and a lot of peers on this app, but the actual ones that genuinely you connect with, it's unique because I feel like, I mean, we haven't even met in person.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah, it is because we can talk about anything, but we haven't even met in person. But that's, yeah, I'm very grateful for it too.
So now I just go in and I fill in on our morning show. I'm doing that 2 times this week. I can kind of pick and choose my schedule, which is like unheard of in my business. And I have the greatest, and I'm not even just saying this, the greatest bosses who like, you never find this. You never find this in news. But they not only understand that I have a family, but they love it. And I think honestly, being a mom and becoming a family has made me such a better news anchor because my job is to cover what's happening in my community. But without having kids, I never really understood community. I think it's just made me better at my job because now I care about the things that really do matter to the majority of families.
Yeah, because I
So it's
think you
really
probably
neat.
realize that you need a community and you want a good community. I mean, it really, I've said this before, but it really takes a village to raise
Absolutely.
even me as an adult. I need a village. Our children, they need villages. And so, yeah, I think you probably came to find, oh, community is important.
Oh my gosh, without a doubt. Okay, let's get over to one of your questions. This one is we're gonna, do you want to do business or do you want to do religion?
Either way, whatever.
Okay, we're gonna start off soft. We're gonna do a business one. Are you still
Okay.
part of Flutter Habit Lashes?
So, yes, technically, yes. We've reinvested again back into the company, but we did sell our portion last year, which is one of the big reasons why we were able to step away from Instagram as our main mode of income. That was something too that we always knew we were going to do. It was kind of like, because in this job, we don't have any security, any 401k, any retirement. You're literally living brand deal to brand deal. So you have to take it upon yourself to think about your future. What are you putting away? And so Brad knew years ago that I didn't love influencing and I didn't want this to be my thing forever. And so we kind of like made a goal. We said, okay, let's invest in this lash brand, which is amazing. And I still wear the lashes to this day. And I don't know when I'll ever stop.
You have them on right
I've
now.
had them on for, yeah, I've had them on for 4 years, not the same pair. They last like 5 to 7 days, but I don't even know when I would ever go back to mascara. So I truly believe in the product. I truly, obviously, we invested lots of money into this, and we still we reinvested once the company that we sold to, there was a package where we could buy back in. And because we truly, genuinely love the product and believe in it, we bought back in. So yes, yes and no. I don't work with the owners like we used to, on products. We're more like a silent partner at this point.
That's great.
But we love it. And it is what gave me the ability to exit, the world of influencing. So I'll forever be grateful for it. But it is something that we planned. A lot of people are like, how did you just walk away from it? Or what did you have in place? This was one of those big things that we had in place that we were able to close out on last summer. Wow. And then that's kind of when I had texted you about, okay, I think we're going to shut it down. So, yeah.
Well, interesting.
Okay. Let's ask you a question. Ooh, okay. This is kind of a big one.
Uh-oh.
But you said that your parents were really good about this. I want to hear from your parents that have 9 kids, how they raised you. It says thoughts on how to teach kids to not judge others on modesty, athleticism, knowledge, so on and so forth, like how to not get kind of sucked into that. And I remember last week on last week's podcast, you said that your parents were so good about being there for you, but also letting you figure out. So it didn't sound like there was a lot of harping there, but yeah, you tell us.
Yeah. I mean, my mom maybe was a little bit harder on modesty. Harder is the wrong word though, because she really
maybe just strict to
what other people.
Maybe
I wouldn't even say strict. Like she just
encouraged.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that. I think the best thing that worked for me and in my household was the examples that I had. My parents did not get caught up in what other people had, what other people were doing, how other people were dressing, what their kids were doing, choices that other people were making. So as a result, we didn't get caught up in that. When I would come home from school, if it was a bad day with girls gossiping or something happening on the cheerleading squad that I was a part of, when I got home, my mom did not ask me about what did this girl say about you or what did this boy do to you? That was not important. What was important was she made me feel safe. She made me feel loved. She did not get involved in the little petty things that I had to deal with at school. At home, it was a safe place. And there's good and bad because sometimes there were a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was a conscious choice that she was talking about. Or
she was like cool.
I have no clue what's happening. But I felt like I could come home. I could be 100% me. And those things that were happening did not matter. And so
it was
separate from your
life. You were able to separate yourself from that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And my parents cared more about me just as a human, not what was happening in the noise and in the mix of school and this and that. So that the fact that they didn't let those things matter at home, I think were really fabulous. And someone just told me this recently. They said, talk up when you're at home with your kids. If you're talking about other people, talking about what's happening at school, keep it positive. When you start just to get into the negative stuff, then that you're just teaching by example for your kids to talk that way. Yeah. So she said to me, talk up. It was at this luncheon that this random woman that I was sitting next to, and I've never forgotten it, talk up. So that to me, I think has been the best that I got from my parents too. It was always just focusing on what was important. We talked about Jesus a lot. We talked about the scriptures. We talked about prayer. We didn't talk about what someone was wearing, and we didn't talk about because why?
I think it's natural for a kid to be like, this is what's happening, or so-and-so said this or whatever. Cause they kind of come home and they want to just, I mean, if they feel safe enough to talk about it, that's kind of natural to come home and just be kind of like bugged about something and want to get it off your chest. But I think it's so important for us as parents to talk up and to maybe listen to what they're actually saying and talk about, well, how did that make you feel? And then when they say, you know, it made me feel pretty crummy, then using that as a time, and not everything needs to be turned into a lesson, but just like leaning into, oh man, like I bet, like since you know how awful that feels, just make sure that you maybe aren't the person that makes another person feel that way. You know, like using those times, if they're wanting to maybe like spill everything that happened and turning it into a positive, you know, it can be done instead of it just being a whole like bickering session about people or about friends. I have a friend of mine that's struggling with how they were raised in their home because their mom was very critical of everyone and everything. And so, and I remember that from decades ago, I remember this. And what a challenge it has been for this person to not be hypercritical of everything around them. And they are adults now. Mm-hmm. And so, and that comes from being raised in a home with a critical parent. So I think it's just one of the, yeah, like you said, the example is so huge. What we teach our kids about how we view literally mankind is so important, especially at that pivotal, those teenage years where they're deciding, okay, this is how I'm going to feel about so-and-so and so-and-so, you know?
Well, this goes back to a funny question that you sent me.
Yeah.
This one was, please talk about the way Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and yes. how they show Mormonism. And
yes.
This goes back to that answer. So I'm a Real Housewives fan, huge fan. I love them. I could not stomach Real Housewives of Salt Lake City in the beginning because it was hitting a little too close to home. They mm-hmm. were talking about the religion that I'm a part of, but in a way that made it seem like I've never heard of this religion.
Hmm.
The way that some of these characters in this show were raised
mm-hmm.
were completely contrary to how I was raised. And mm-hmm. it was bothering me so much to the point where I was like, I'm done. I cannot watch this. This is making me sick.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what I signed up yep. for. And yep. the fact that they have this massive platform and this is how they're portraying it, which it makes sense. When you have left something, the best, the thing that makes you feel the best is to dog whatever you've left,
for
you know,
sure.
because you still have these insecurities and these things that hurt you. And mm-hmm. it makes us feel better to put that thing down.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. However, the way that it was represented and it continues to be represented on the show is so not the religion that I'm a part of. And so the response to that question is the way that they were raised was different than how I was raised. And so you can only really speak to your experience. My experience is extremely different than what is being represented on that show. And you don't want to diminish someone else's experience because a lot of people have been raised in any religion where their parents, you know, are extremely strict. It sounds like in some of these situations, not just strict, but abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is sad. It's sad because I've had a lot of people question, wow, like, does your church really do this? Does your church really do that? And I'm like, not the one I go to. You know?
But I think that's a great response to that question because that is, I mean, pretty much anyone from my audience, they say that the only thing that they know about our church is what has been shown on TV, which is all for entertainment purposes.
Yes.
And it's rarely someone that has stayed in the church, but someone that has fallen away and wants to, like you said, like they just want to put down the church, not to, again, diminish the experiences that they had. But somewhere along the lines, someone departed from the doctrine in the church that we are taught. And that is, it's something that we all have to be careful that we don't do because how quickly it can go downhill and then the effect that has on these people. So it is sad that some people are raised by people that aren't following, you know, the way that Jesus taught and the way that Jesus led. At some point they departed and started going down their own path. But like you said, that is not the church. The way it's depicted on TV, a commercial TV for entertainment, is not the church that we attend. Those are not the things that we are taught. And we are sorry for the people that have had to experience that.
It gets tricky because I have to remind people that we are a church of agency. And so when they say, oh, you're forced to do this or you can't do this, it's like, no, man, it's choices. Like we choose to do this and we choose to do that because we truly believe that when we make these choices, it will lead to a happier life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about like, oh, if I make this choice, then I'm going to get one step closer to Jesus. No, I already like the fact that I believe like I'm with Jesus. But if I make this choice, it will help me avoid this, and this heartache. And believe mm-hmm. me, I've made contrary like choices that are not in line with the church. And I have felt the things that it has done to my life where I feel like it completely detracts from happiness.
Yeah.
So when I have made choices on my own, it truly has led to a happier life where I can breathe and I find peace. I have to tell you a story. So last 2 weeks ago, I got my mammogram.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I was doing it for a story because we got this new pink bus, which is a mobile mammogram. Mm-hmm. Super great, right? So I got the mammogram for TV. I have a photographer in right behind me.
I saw it.
God bless him. And we do the mammogram. Great. It was such a great time. Mammograms are so easy, by the way. Super easy. Did not hurt at all. A couple days go by and I get a phone call and I'm just expecting it to be like, great job. You're the best. No, it was, they saw something. Yes. What? No, this happened last week.
Oh, not only, my
gosh. They saw something and these phone calls are terrifying because yes, we saw something. We need you to come back. It's in your left breast. And 2 hours later, after this phone call, I had to go to a breast cancer event put on by this big
goodness.
It was so messy. So I get the phone call of, you need to come back. We see something in the left side. And so of course I'm sent into a tizzy and I have to get ready to go to this event. So I go to the event, the guy who's in charge of the event, his name is Larry Fitzgerald. He's this massive, huge football star here in Arizona. Well, you know, across the country, but I'm there and I'm doing the interview with him and I cry during the interview. He's like, what is wrong with you? And so I put the microphone down. I'm like, Larry, I literally got a call 2 hours ago that I'm supposed to like go back. He has his arm around. We're on the red carpet, Holly, and I'm crying. Like, such an idiot, you know?
I feel like I saw a behind the scenes clip of this. Yes.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I put some of it on there, but of course I put the you know, I come off the carpet and all the sports guys are there and they know that I'm in love with him. And so they think that I'm crying because I am in love with him. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Like, I promise it's much bigger than that.
It's about my boobs.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a couple of days go by. Yesterday, we finally had the appointment and it was like this big, long diagnostic mammogram. So they take multiple pictures and then I go back and sit down and then I have to go back and do more pictures. And then I go back and sit down. Then I go to the ultrasound and then the doctor comes in and she's like, you're clear.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Did that hurt?
No.
Tell the truth.
I mean, listen, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but it didn't hurt. It was expensive. Even with insurance, it was a $600 appointment, which that makes me mad because so many women avoid this because of how expensive it is.
Yeah.
So that really grinded my gears. I was like, listen, like, can we make these free for these women?
Oh, yeah.
So many who wants to be like, yeah, $600 just to check, you know?
Yeah.
That was frustrating. But again, I'm thankful. Like, I'm so thankful because I got the all clear. I don't have to go back until I'm 40, which is great. I just have in my left side some dense breast tissue. And of course I do. I nursed four babies, you know,
but
anyway,
my boobs at this point are sacks of marbles. That's literally how my OB described it. I was like, I'm like, how am I supposed to self-check? And he's like, well, you just really can't. He's like, you can try, but you need to stay on top of your appointments, like your yearly checkups, your annuals, because it really feels like everything is a lump. And I'm like, me with my anxiety brain, I'm like, well, this is great. I have sacks of marbles for boobs. And I guess it's called like polycystic fibroids or something. But yeah, I just have to stay on top of it.
Well,
so.
And that was the thing. I've never had a mammogram before. So
like,
now that we have this baseline, we know that when this lights up again, your next one, then we know that it's been there for forever. But here's the thing, the whole week, I was so anxious. I said so many prayers and I never felt settled. But then when we were going to the appointment, I made my husband drive me because I was like, this is bad news. I will not be able to drive home. When we were driving to the appointment, it was a full on, all anxiety was gone. Felt so clear. I felt so comforted and so at peace. And I know that people have these stories about like the spirit, like coming over them. Mm-hmm. It was like the most beautiful, like quiet,
undeniable.
It was so cool. It was so cool. I was by myself in there, you know, topless. I just felt total peace. And it wasn't a feeling of like, you're fine. It wasn't a feeling of you're doomed. It was just like peaceful. So that whatever was going to be,
it was like, it was probably more like, I'm here with you. I've got you.
Yes. That's more of what it was like.
Cause
it wasn't a, you're fine. It was just a, you're not alone.
Yep.
And it was so holy. Like, I've been part of the church my whole life. I can't count on, I can count on
I
one
love
hand where
that.
maybe I felt that. But it was
Yeah.
really a cool reminder of like, oh man, like we aren't alone. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know if it was God that was with me or like my ancestors or like my
Yeah.
grandma who passed away from cancer, whatever it was, I felt like I was not alone,
I
even though
love
you're in
that.
this like, you know, icy hospital room. But
Yeah.
it was really, really cool
I
that all
love
of it
that.
just melted away. 'Cause I can't even tell you. I don't get anxiety very much, but that was like the
I
longest week
remember
of
you
my
saying
life.
that you hadn't had an anxiety attack
Ugh.
or anything.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say on your way there you had a huge anxiety attack, which would have been understandable, but
Oh,
I'm
I don't
so glad
know.
that it was the opposite of that.
Total opposite. It was the coolest experience. And it was just another, like, a great heavenly reminder of like, you got this. You're not alone. Things will get hard.
I
And
love that.
got tons of people behind you. Yeah, it was
I love
great.
that.
It was really great. Okay, there's another question that I think is really important, and you are so good at answering these. This one is dumb non-church person. Who is Heavenly Father? Who's Jesus? God? Are they the one and the same? Break it all down.
Okay. I love this question because it's one that I've gotten a few times.
Yeah.
And so I printed off a few things that I'm just gonna read to describe why we refer to God as our Father in heaven. A big question that a lot of people have for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons, do members of the church believe in the Trinity? Is a question that a lot of people ask. That is something that sets us apart from many other Christian beliefs. Now, not everyone that is Christian believes in the Trinity, which is something that I didn't know because my whole life I have been defending why we believe that the Godhead is three separate beings. But I kind of just thought it was that it was us against them. I hate to put it in those terms, but I just felt like I was always having to defend that, and we were kind of alone in that. But this belief in the Trinity, not everyone believes this. Not every Christian faith believes this. There are many that do, but there are also those that don't. And we are ones of the ones that don't. But we believe that God is our loving Heavenly Father. So He is the Father of our spirits, and we communicate with Him through prayer as Jesus Christ Himself did. So Heavenly Father always listens to our prayers. He is who we pray to. And we refer to Him as a lot of people hear us say Heavenly Father instead of God. And I think I read this and I loved it and I want to quote it. But it says that, come on, work, got to find it. But basically, it just said that we refer to Him as our loving Heavenly Father because that is our relationship with Him. He isn't just God, He isn't just a God. It really depicts a relationship and really makes it more singular to each one of us when we refer to him as a father, because you think of your earthly parents, your father, you know, and how much he loves you and how consumed he is with your well-being and your safety and your peace and your learning and your growth, all these things. We believe that referring to him as our Father in heaven, which by the way is biblical. When Jesus is teaching them how to pray, he says, you know, our Father who art in heaven. And so it's really just solidifying that relationship with him that he is a father. He is the father. He is the creator of our spirit and our being. And so that's why you'll hear members of our faith say, refer to him as Heavenly Father. We also refer to him as God the Father. But you'll more so hear us say Heavenly Father. And when we are praying, we will start our prayers with Heavenly Father, more likely than not. And then we believe that Jesus Christ is a separate being and the Holy Ghost is a separate being, that they are one, they are the Godhead, they are one in purpose, but three separate beings. That's like a whole topic we could really dive into on another one, but yeah, that's to answer that specific question, that's why we refer to him as Heavenly Father.
Okay, this kind of goes along with that though. This question
Yeah.
is from Chels. She says, "How do I start? I don't know anything about Jesus, and the Bible is so overwhelming. What person is going to want to like, well, I should get to know Jesus? Genesis chapter 1. Like that's a massive book.
So daunting.
It's too overwhelming. It's so daunting. So if someone wants to come to know Jesus, where should they start? What a cool question too, by the way.
I know. This is why I love people. This is why I love people. So I've been reading the scriptures pretty much my whole life. Amen. I cannot understand the scriptures, maybe like I'd want to, or maybe even at all, if I do not have a study guide. I live and breathe by my study guides, and I've hopped around to different study guides because everybody, you know, takes something different from the scriptures. But I would absolutely look for a Bible study guide. And there are so many, and I know that even in and of itself seems daunting because there are so many choices, but just pick one that you can even go on Amazon and just pick a Bible study guide. A lot of people like, the one by Tara Lee Cobble, the Bible recap. A lot of people, I asked for resources on this back in January probably, and a lot of people recommended the Bible recap. I think she has an app. She maybe has a podcast. She has it in different forms, but a lot of people really like her. Again, it's someone's interpretation, right? And that's the thing about the scriptures. Everybody gets to interpret what they mean to them. And so seeing it and using it as a guide, but more so going into it prayerfully and saying, Heavenly Father, what do you want me to learn from this scripture? I just need the study guides because I feel like it helps at least point my brain in the right direction so that I can apply it to my life. Because sometimes I'm thinking they're talking about Egypt and they're actually talking about Rome. Like I was way off on what I thought we were talking about.
Oh, without a doubt.
So I need someone to help point me in that direction. So I would just 100% say, find a good Bible study guide that speaks to you. I mean, I even saw some at Sam's Club the other day in their book section. So they are literally everywhere. That's where I would start. Do you have
if you're trying to get to know Jesus, I think the first thing is just try talking to him. Yeah. And that's as simple as like, Dear Heavenly Father, who are you?
Are you there?
Is this? Yeah. Are you really there?
Mm-hmm.
I think that just talking, and that can look like getting down on your knees and folding your arms and saying a prayer like that. And it doesn't have to be formal. It can literally just be like you and I have talked about in your car, driving, whatever it is. I think if you want to know Jesus, the best thing is just to talk to him. Yep. And from the Jesus that you believe in, that I believe in, like if someone's nervous about starting this, like, believe me, he will be so stoked.
Yes.
Like, he will be so happy.
He
no
will
matter
be.
Where you are in your life. That's the coolest question. The fact that you want to start somewhere, I think try talking to him first.
Yeah.
And then like, give yourself some meditation space for him to talk back to you or to listen to your thoughts. We had a general conference talk and I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Ballard. Someone who talked about thoughts that we get. And if it's a good thought, don't question if it's coming from Jesus. It's probably just go with it. You know, sometimes we think that these thoughts or these impressions need to be this, and this in order to be coming from Jesus. No, if it's a good thing and it's asking you to do something good for someone else, that's probably just go with it.
Well, you know? What's the harm in doing the good thing? There will never be a bad outcome from whether you feel like that was from God or not. Mm-hmm. There will never be a bad, because it's usually something where it's like, hey, text this person. They're think, you know, you need to think about them, or hey, you should drop a treat off at this person's house, or oh gosh, that person just tripped and fell. Go help them. You know, like it's all good things. And we know that those are promptings from the Holy Ghost to go and help and to be Christ-like. But maybe people that don't know where that's coming from, I would pose the question, what harm could come from it by following those promptings, you know,
absolutely.
Only good. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. We have any other questions you like?
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this one. I don't know if you saw this one. The best marriage advice.
And for that answer, you will have to join us next week on Honey with Holly and Emma, where we continue with your questions. We'll see you for part 2 next week.